This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Here's the set. 3-2 to Suzuki. Swung on. Hit deep to left field. Way back. Going. Going. It's gone. Goodbye. Game over. Kurt Suzuki has done it again. Bang. Zoom goes Suzuki. It's one of the wins of the year. And if you walked out of this ballpark with a
one of the great Charlie and Dave moments of the year. Well, of any year,
of
really.
Any year.
I would say of the, over the years. I mean, but that one.
It's a top 20 moment in Nationals history.
Right, that was there. Unbelievable. Was that a 9-3 game that they came
9-4 to scored a touchdown.
Oh. Six runs.
It was 10-4.
Right. It was 5-4, and the Mets scored 5 in the ninth.
Yeah, okay.
Turner had like a brain cramp. Like, you forgot how many outs. Turner had a bad top of the ninth inning. He made a huge mental mistake, and the Mets scored 5. And they took, if you remember, Edwin Diaz was out of the closer's role. They were closing with Seawald. Oh, they were closing with Lugo.
Lugo.
Lugo was closing, pitched the eighth. Back then, they were using logos sometimes to get 6 out saves.
Right.
So Mickey Callaway got greedy. So, well, now we're up by 6. I'm going to take Lugo out, save him for tomorrow. Brought in Seawald.
Before he was good.
Okay, I was going to say, who would turn into an all-star closer.
But,
yes.
But this was like bad Seawald.
Yeah.
So and Turner got a hit. A bunch of guys got hits. Then he had to bring in Diaz because Lugo was already out of the game. Zim got a big double to right center. And then we all know he hung the slider to Suzuki.
That was unbelievable.
Had you guys done the You Blew It thing before, right?
Not,
well, you had said it before.
I had said it before, but we never, like,
but how did
unison.
You guys know to jump in unison like that?
I knew where he was going.
Okay. But that just happens. It's like me and Danny sit next to each other long enough,
yes.
You kind of.
Right, but
new.
To say something perfectly in unison.
It's almost like you're like, hey, after this happens, let's make sure we yell it at the same time. I mean, it was perfect.
Right.
I don't know if you could do it again.
No chance.
No, we don't want to try.
I don't want to be down that many runs in the ninth inning. To
no,
to
I mean
it to out.
Even just like if we can, you guys say that together
right.
In unison.
We wouldn't
couldn't do it.
It's like hitting a trick shot. You know,
right.
It's like you're not running that one back. Grant and Danny out and about at Lost Rhino Brew Pub. You're hearing from Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. This is our Nationals season preview. Opening day is tomorrow. Show's brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murrah. They'll help you with all the important stuff, all the paperwork you need to get done. Go schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Grant, you packed this place for us.
We did. Nats fans show up when Charlie and Dave make the rounds. I'll tell you that right
now. I thought they came for you.
I can promise you they did not. But I'm glad that they are here. Whoever they came for, I'm happy that they are. A lot of people rocking their red. Many of them are going to be at the ballpark. I was talking to some folks yesterday. Got tickets for tomorrow. Excited that the weather is going to be decent. I hope they sell out the ballpark. We'll see. They're getting close from what I was told. But there are still some tickets available, last I checked. Let's talk pitching staff for a moment, guys. Mackenzie Gore is going to get the opening day assignment tomorrow. 26-year-old, front of the rotation stuff. When he's been at his best, that's what an ace looks like. How do we get that instead of, say, 15 starts, 22, 23 times? Because now you found something. What's the difference between where he is now and hopefully where he'll be at the end of the year?
Well, they did a nice piece on him in the Post, and I hope that what he says he can translate, because the thing that we always, from the first time we saw Gore when he first came to the Nationals, you see the stuff, but then you see the mound presence. And this is a guy who would get down on himself pretty quickly because he is a perfectionist. And if something didn't go right, he would pout and things would snowball. And that happened to him last season. He was dominant the first two and a half months and then got in a rut and just couldn't get out of it. And finally he was able to. And if he can have those, those coping mechanisms, hey, when something goes wrong, I've just got to be able to turn the page, flush it, move on to the next pitch, the next situation. And again, because he's so young, we're talking about these same consistencies with C.J. Abrams and the other young players. If he can just be consistent to turn those bad starts into mediocre starts, because the good starts are going to be special. And that'll go hand-in-hand with him getting deeper in games. Like, we had so many, when he was struggling, 100-pitch, 4 1/3 inning starts. If you're going to be the lead dog in this rotation, we need you on a bad day to go 6.
Yeah.
And a lot of days we need you to go 7 or more, because that's what the lead dog does. And I hope he's ready to take that next step. But he's saying the right things. Now, if he can put it into practice, that's when he's going to be special.
Especially with Corbin out. And I know everyone likes making their jokes. But the Corbin. One thing about Corbin, he was going to eat innings.
Right.
And without him there to take.
He could give up 6 in the first and give you 7 innings.
And he did it many times.
Right. The thing for Gore, when you talk about, you need him to get 6 on a bad day, a lot of times he couldn't do it because it would be that you'd have 3 really good. 1, 2, and 4 might be really good, but he threw 35 pitches in the third inning.
Right.
He got to stay away from those big pitch 30-plus innings for him.
To his credit, each of his seasons in the big leagues, his ERA has dropped. He has made steady improvements, and another drop would get him into the low 3s in ERA. He is on what is a very normal trajectory for a starting pitcher to become a front-of-the-line guy as a former top-5 pick. How about Soroka, who we talked about earlier? This was the youngest opening day starter in Braves history. This was a Rookie of the Year runner-up who was 6th in Cy Young balloting as a 21-year-old, and he's a lot of injuries removed from that. That ceiling's probably gone. But, Charlie, they signed him on a flyer here on a one-year deal. What's it look like if that clicks?
That's gold if it clicks. You signed him for $9 million. As Dave mentioned earlier, there were other teams who wanted to sign him as a reliever. The whole thing for him, I think, is staying on the field. Last year, he had a sore shoulder, and again, this was after he moved to the bullpen, and he was out from mid-July to mid-September. Nationals obviously can't afford to, for that to happen, miss a starting pitcher for that length of time. The other thing for me is, with the injuries that he's had, and then he was in the bullpen after starting last year, how many innings can you get out of him? Because he hasn't been a full-season starting pitcher in a number of years because of the injuries. Now, he thinks he's strong enough. The we had him on our spring training live show, and it's interesting because the twice he tore the Achilles, which normally is like a fluke injury, but he said that his mechanics lent to putting so much pressure on that leg that he's made adjustments that have helped him overall.
Wait, he thinks his pitching mechanics hindered his Achilles?
Yes.
Wow, that's really
interesting. The pressure that he put on that leg.
At least once he heard it fielding a ball, like in a fluky thing, right?
They're both fluky.
Coming off the mound, like running in the infield. That's interesting.
But
the wear and tear.
The biomechanists, we've looked at him. And
for people that don't know, they spend tens of thousands of dollars on, there's plates to see. It's almost like you go to the Good Feet store and how do you walk.
Did this himself.
But the pitching version of that, like how are you landing?
Himself.
He's got millions of dollars on the line moving forward. He could have a hell of a career.
So he basically had to refine everything that he did in terms of his pitching mechanics to balance himself so that all that pressure wasn't on the one leg.
To your point, in 2020, he threw 13 innings, didn't pitch at all in 21 or 22, And then the last 2 years, 32 and 80 innings. So it's not like they're going to just wind him up and let him go.
This is where, you know, Herr's getting hurt now. We don't know if it's going to lead to Tommy John surgery, but he certainly, even if he doesn't, he's out significant amount of time. To me, this is where Cade Cavalli becomes important. He's coming back from basically not pitching for 2 years from Tommy John surgery and trying to ramp back up last year and being ill for a while that shut him down. Now the Nationals are going to slow go with him because they know, because he hasn't pitched, they have a cap of 120 innings for him. So they'd like that 120 innings to start sometime in late May or June so that he can pitch straight through the year from there. So depending on innings for other pitches, that's where, you know, you have this guy, with, and I'm sure some of his 120 is going to be spent in the minor leagues because he hasn't pitched in so long.
Charlie Slows with us here on our Nats preview. Jags, let's move on in the rotation to the two guys that they unearthed last year. Really was the first time in many years that they've developed non-top-of-the-board draft picks in the rotation. Jake Irvin, a former fourth-round pick who gave them 175 innings, and Mitchell Parker, I think, was a fifth-round pick who gave them 150 innings. What's your confidence in those guys either just sustaining what they did or adding to it and becoming mainstays?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Jake first. I mean, no one works harder on this team than Jake. I mean, he is constantly, you know, in the weight room between starts. I think he felt like, you know, it, with the benefit of hindsight, maybe he wore down a little bit because the first half to the second half, there was a big drop-off. I mean, he was a, you know, really a dark horse candidate for the All-Star team, didn't get named. That 4th of July start was the high point, not as good in the second half. So I think he put his body through a pretty rigorous offseason so that he can give you the 180 to 200 innings. So I'm bullish on Irvin being able to replicate the first half and carry it through to the second half. And a lot's going to be counted now on Parker because Herr's is down. I mean, you thought maybe that, you know, if Parker faltered, Herr's could come in. Well, you know, they're going to be counting on Mitchell heavily. And I think for his for him having basically a full season last year coming up mid-April, we'll see what adjustments he makes. The one thing that we talked about with him, he was on one of our spring training live shows. He just worked a lot this winter and in spring training on fielding his position. I mean, you look at his ERA last year, and even there were sometimes plays made were errors, sometimes plays weren't made were not called errors. Like, his ERA might have been a half to a three-quarters of a run better had he just simply fielded a ground ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if you do a better job holding the running game, fielding your position, you know, he was great, 60 feet 6 inches, but when the ball was put in play, it was a flip of the coin.
So, and there are times,
if he can do better in that,
yeah,
then to me his ERA is coming down.
And to your point, Dave, there are times where pitchers can struggle with that. Like, that was borderline Yips territory, where anything
totally
in the infield where Parker had to come off the mound, I don't mean to make light of this. Like, you knew he was not going to make the play.
He knew it, you know, yeah. And teammates would, you know, first you kind of, they would ride him a little bit. Then it's like, you know, we don't want to do this. But, you know, you needed, like, just a sharp one-hopper right that hit him in the glove and stuck. Because every ball he missed was hit like 32 miles an hour. It's like, I've got time to think about this. It's coming in my direction. All of a sudden, he bobbles it.
Right.
Just to have something where you don't have to think. Just react, field, make the play.
But for a guy who maybe wasn't really on the radar to come up last year, the Nationals had the injury to Josiah Gray we haven't even mentioned because he's underwent.
He'll be out for the year.
Yeah, you know. So Parker had thrown four innings with Rochester and hadn't really pitched much because they were snowed out like 3 or 4 days in the first week of the season. And lo and behold, he's in the rotation the rest of the year. And you didn't even see him in spring training. So it's pretty interesting. You know, even with all of that, the fielding issues, that was a successful year for him. Not even on the radar to do what he did at the big league level.
Yeah, you mentioned the pitching depth. They've got a couple of guys that are close enough that might be able to help them. Interestingly, they're going to keep Brad Lord, it sounds like, on the big league roster. He would have been the first responder. I would have sent him to AAA and kept him available as a starter because I don't think they have anybody as talented as him in that role.
With that being said, if he's going to be a true long man, if you're going 2-3 innings a pop, you don't have to
That's
go
true.
Down to AAA to stretch out. I mean, it's not that – it's one or two turns to get to 5 innings from
right.
three
and,
innings.
And that may – and maybe because, you know, guys don't get deep in spring training stretch out,
point,
that they want to have him now as a long reliever, but maybe at some point he goes down and does start and stretch out and comes back.
Well,
and
as I'm thinking about
they need
this,
him to start.
I mean, Trevor Williams is five and dive. That's how they use him. Parker's not a guy that's going to give you six every time he throws, right? I mean, you've got enough question. We were talking about Gore and the inconsistency getting deep. It's not a bad thing to have a multi-inning, that right. Craig Stammen kind of guy a couple times a week that you really like, almost like a sixth starter in the sense, is going to throw multiple innings a few times a
week. Well, and that's, you know, obviously the concern over Derek Law, who was late to ramp up. I mean, he was that guy, too. He could give you – he might be an eighth-inning guy or seventh inning, but there were times he went 2 1/3 or three and a third
last year.
Maybe
that's another reason Brad Lord makes the team, at least at the start, because, you know, Law's told us, if I can't pitch back-to-back, then I'm not of much use to you. That's how he thought. He goes, I don't want to pitch one day and then say I can't go the next day. That's not who he is in his own mind.
So the bullpen then, quickly – Finnegan returns for less money than was expected after he hit free agency. He opens as the closer. They did bring in three free agents to help get the ball to him. Jorge Lopez, Lucas Sims, and Colin Poche, the lefty. He'll be one of two lefties in the pen with my sleeper on the whole team, Jose Ferrer, who I think becomes their closer in short order. But he's going to pitch high leverage innings. I would not be surprised, guys. You get your reaction to this. Mackenzie Gore somehow goes eight innings. Now, I would be surprised by that. But Gore goes eight innings against the Phillies on opening day, and you're leading 1-0. And Harper and Schwarber are due up in the ninth, and the door comes open. It ain't Kyle Finnegan. Ferrer coming out.
Davey's kind of hinted at that.
I think so.
But you know,
between the lines a little bit.
Right. That, you know, you saw flashes of wow from Ferrer in the last 2 months of the year from a guy who didn't pitch the other 4 months of the season. So he's never done it over a whole year. He's never been the guy to be in that spot to close. So we don't know if he, you know, there's this part where he throws 98 to 100, but we don't know if upstairs he's ready. You know, the ninth inning's a different thing.
He needs a little scar tissue.
Yeah.
Because you give up the homer to Schwarber, then you're in there the next night facing Schwarber.
Yeah.
How do you bounce back from that? That's what the great relievers. Hey, you're not going to be 100%, but you have a bad one, you're right back on the beam the next night.
All right, so I want both of you guys to give me a sleeper who you think could impress. Could be a starter who everybody likes, could be a guy on the back of the roster, but somebody, hitter and a pitcher, who you think at the end of the year will have improved their stock maybe more than we think.
Well, I mean, you stole my sleeper in Ferrer. I'm going to go Soroka. I am bullish on Soroka for a low-dollar starter, you know, with the improved repertoire. I hope this is a big win for Soroka.
And in the lineup?
Ruiz.
I was going to go Ruiz.
Just because,
nice.
You know, Ruiz was, you know, it was such a downer last year. The mentality, the work ethic this spring has been off the charts. Just a little bit better plate discipline, the better conditioning. I think he has a bounce-back year.
And I don't think it would be hard for him to beat last year's results, just based on what we've seen already. You know, for me, you know, to a position player and a pitcher both.
Yeah.
I will say Mackenzie Gore needs to be that guy to lead the pitching staff, no doubt. And then, you know, I'll go to Jacob Young, your guy. How much are they going to get out of Jacob Young? Because there are other guys, like you say, that could push him. They're not going to push Cruz and
no.
They're not going to push your right fielder and left fielder, Cruz and Wood, unless they falter, which would be stunning. At this point, I mean, they're what everyone is coming to see.
What would you guys say is a impressive year that everyone should feel good about for James Wood? What does that look like in his first full season?
30 home runs.
Oh, really? You think
25 to 30 home
okay.
runs.
Okay. I mean, that's a hell of a year.
Mm-hmm.
First full year in the big leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with that. I think he doesn't even know how to pull the ball yet, but you're going to see at least half, if not two-thirds, of those home runs going out to left center field.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see the high on-base percentage. We know he's going to draw his walks. I mean, you know, 350, 375 on base. And, you know, I hope if he can get the slug up near 500, that'd be awesome.
I mean, there is a path to this team overachieving expectations
mm-hmm.
where – Wood and Cruz arrive earlier than we thought in terms of being really, really good. James Wood's an all-star, let's say, with a lot of power. Dylan Cruz is playing elite defense and running wild on the base paths, and his WAR is high, and he's just a winning player, and he's getting his jersey dirty. And they're leading, you know, this scrappy team that scored more runs than we thought, and they're pitching okay. There is a path to that, even if it's, you know, probably not the most likely outcome.
Right, and I think, you know, offensively, that can happen. Pitching is always more of a wild card to me. They've got to stay healthy. That's key. And you've got to see I think we're going to see improvement offensively. We need to see full years from some of the pitchers. Can Gore get past some of the struggles? Can Irvin be strong the whole year? And then after that, there's questions about the rotation. We didn't mention Ogasawara, who they brought in from Japan, and he did not make the club, didn't seemingly look ready to pitch at this level. He was getting hit. We'll see what adjustments he makes, because now if Hurst is down, maybe he's next up if they need a starter. So, you know, they made that investment in him. It may help you get through the door to get Japanese players going forward. So there's a path there, but we'll see if he has some kind of impact as the year goes along. So I know he didn't come here to go to AAA.
No.
In his mind.
A fun season will be is if we in the later stage of the season are paying attention to other scores.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
What are the Diamondbacks doing? What are the Brewers doing? What are these other teams?
Right in the fifth inning, Charlie.
During the broadcast, our studio producer Vic Ferrer will start talking about other games. And Dave will say, well, we're not 500. You can't scoreboard watch unless you're 500.
That's
my
rule.
Is that the rule?
That's my rule.
I kind of love that.
He goes, because if you're 500, you can look at the scoreboard. If you're not 500, you can't look at the other games.
It doesn't matter. You're not good enough.
Right.
You don't get to do it.
Right.
Are you guys? We'll end the conversation here. I mean, for Charlie, for you, this is season 21?
Yes.
Because it's 21 of the Nationals. You've been here since day one. And, Jack, you came here too. So season 20, you and Bob together.
Yep.
I didn't realize you guys came the exact same year. But are you doing anything a little differently? Is there anything you're adding into the mix this year? Are you maybe you used to go whiteout? Now you're using something else. Are we going to do a different snack in the fourth inning, Jags? Like,
nope.
What is our plan this year?
No, baseball is tradition.
You're just sticking to the script.
Yep.
It means you got to constantly be updating the.
I do. There are different things you add to how you keep score over the years that I've added.
Right.
You know,
but like you're not like you've never used binoculars, but this year you're going to try like nothing like that.
No, I have, but not. You can't call the game through binoculars.
Of course not.
No.
But there's nothing in your bag now that wasn't there last year. No. Literally or figuratively.
Prior to last year, I switched from white out, the actual liquid, to the white out tape.
Jags gets what I'm asking.
And we had a spring training game this year.
A race.
The first pitch was at 105. We got a lineup change at 101 that impacted 8 spots out of 9 in the lineup.
That's unacceptable.
The Cardinals. So with the white out strip, I was able to if it had been white out liquid, by the time it dries out,
but
it's too late.
After, you know, we switch innings and I'm erasing and I'm moving every guy up one and putting in their numbers again. After the game, we talked to Bob Carpenter, the master of the scorebook. He goes, well, you know, at the bottom you have the pitcher. He goes, I just whited him out and started from the number 2 spot in the order, and I was good.
That's actually very smart.
You know,
that's why he invented the book.
That's very true. A lot of guys now are using the electronic.
Can't
scorebook.
Do it. Got it. So both of us we chart pitches. So I score every pitch in the book. And
is there no way to do that with the electronic version?
I don't know. I like to do it by hand.
Yeah, I'll have a B for ball, S for swing.
Because pitch count is
L for look.
I mean, pitch count rules the world.
F
so you've got to keep track of how many pitches per inning, how many pitches per start, and then as the at bat goes, hey, he's fouled off 4 pitches in a row. It's now a 10 pitch at bat. You don't have to hunt for it. You're writing it.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Down.
So 4:05 first pitch tomorrow. Yeah?
3:35
start time, Nats Radio. Right here on the Fin and all of the affiliates will be your pregame on Grant and Danny starting at 2:00 at field level for about 90 minutes. But we are ready to roll out the red carpet for the Nationals and for Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler, who are with us all day long here on the eve of another season of Nats baseball. We are spoiled rotten to have you guys in the booth. We are lucky that I listen to and watch so much baseball. And without running anybody else down, man, are we lucky, I will say, with how you guys present games and how seriously you take it. And it's almost old school in how quality it is, and we appreciate it. So
thank you.
Keep on chugging along. Keep making these games that much more entertaining.
Tomorrow's a holiday.
Yes, it is.
It's opening day.
Charlie and Dave, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for hanging out with us at Lost Rhino Brew Pub. Big thanks to our crew back in studio, Darius and Toby. Out here on site, Ryan and our entire group of hard workers to put this whole thing together. A lot of fun. Tim, thank you, buddy. Good job, as always. Grant Paulson saying so long. Linnell Willingham got overtime coming up next.
Thank you for coming.